sessions, and I believe we have folks from our business learning team, from our branch team, and our partners from Ridgeworth. So if we, I heard a couple beeps, let's go around and see who's already dialed in and if we need to wait for anyone else. Let's see. Go ahead. Anybody else from Schwab?
Matt Miller's on the line. Good morning.
Hi, I'm sorry. We were speaking over each other, but if you don't mind just repeating again so I could hear you.
Yes, Chris Miller.
Morning.
Morning.
Wesley DeShazer.
Hi, Wesley.
And Mandy Kerrick here.
Oh, hello, Mandy. Welcome.
Hi.
Great. We're also expecting Kelly Arnold, but she may be in back-to-back meetings, so she'll probably be joining us. Look, Kelly, you're already on the line. And I think I heard some voices from our partners at Ridgeworth. So let's see, Mallory and Jim, are you on the line?
We are. I heard Jim because I heard him say he was incredible, Michelle. You actually he was.
Fantastic. Great. Yes. Thank you very much. Hey, so we're really glad to bring this group together. Kelly Arnold and I, we work out of product development, you know, in San Francisco and Denver, but we wanted to introduce our partners who we've been working with for a number of years, from Ridgeworth Investments to you all in the business learning and branch team, the branch network. And to talk a little bit about the session that we've been looking at for the Financial Consultant University cohort team, who is meeting, I guess, Q2 session. So why don't we do, if you guys are okay, just doing a quick round of introductions. I know we've already did roll call, but just a little bit about your role, and then we can quickly start in on the session just briefly. So. Wesley and Christopher and Mandy, can we start with you, please?
Absolutely. Wesley DeShazer. I've been with Schwab for almost 4 or 5 years now. I am the principal designer on this particular module as part of the overall 12-week Financial Consulting University experience.
Great. Thanks. I'm not sure if anyone's on mute, perhaps, but Mandy or Christopher?
Okay.
I'm Mandy Caird. I've been with Schwab 6 months. I'm the program manager, and I work with Wesley and Robert Aldecoa, and so I'm the program manager for SB University at this time.
Great.
This is Chris Miller. I've been with Schwab just about 15 years. I'm the director of our branch expansion initiative, working on all items from real estate through recruiting and onboarding.
Fantastic. Thank you. Great. So, Mallory and Jim?
You got it.
Mallory, you shared your bios, but tell us what you really do.
You got it. I am Mallory Carr. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I have been with Ridgeworth as of coming up May 1st for 3 years, but was previously with Invesco and worked with Michelle and team and actually a lot of their retail branches for many, many years now in terms of not so much the branches, but just the retail symposiums and everything that we put together. We know how important this division is to the firm, and we jumped at the opportunity to be able to get in front of some of your financial consultants and help. So I'm just responsible for trying to look for the opportunities to, you know, either place products or place value add opportunities. So that's my role. I'll turn it over to you, Jim.
Thanks, Val. And I'm Jim Stevie. I live in Atlanta. I'm the president of the firm. I'm really in charge of all client-facing global distribution. And likewise, I've been with Ridgeworth for about 8.5 years and 15 years with that in a most distinct way to try to make a difference. Tell me something.
Great. I think that's a great segue. Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Mallory. Why don't we turn it over to Wesley and to Chris to talk a little bit about the audience and the Financial Consultant University. And I did send a little short write-up to let Mallory and Jim know sort of a broad overview that Kathy had given us a few weeks ago. But maybe if you could help just to maybe paraphrase and focus in, tell us broadly, but then focus in on this one particular aspect of it, the Grow Your Business module. That'd be great.
Sure. Chris, do you want to start at the high level and then I can zoom in to this particular session?
That approach works. Thank you, Wesley. So what we have done is, historically, when individuals would hire in as financial consultants for the branch network, they were trained by the branch manager as far as systems, interacting with clients, and all items required for day-to-day business. Schwab has taken a new approach with the expansion initiative, and we're bringing our consultants hired on or promoted into the position through a 12-week course that's going to give them the day-to-day needs before they're assigned full-time to their branch. It's very high level. We're taking them through the foundations, what it means to be a financial consultant for Schwab, wealth management and investment advice. Then they go through segments while receiving their client base for how to grow your business, how to manage, maintain your business. And then at the end, a capstone for learning how to maintain portfolios and apply portfolios to individualized accounts. So the goal is to walk them through, again, high level, what it means to be a financial consultant at Schwab through what it would take to grow and maintain a business day in and day out. Any questions?
I could interject a question. Sure. I could interject a question right here. In the typical, prior to this 12-week training, what is the typical background of the individuals that are being hired into this role?
It's a diverse background. We have individuals who've performed other functions within Schwab. A handful of them have worked within the branch environment, possibly even assisting financial consultants day in and day out, or have worked on our phone-based teams providing client guidance. Other individuals have worked in the financial consultant position for other providers within the industry.
Right, so it could be both. They could already be registered. They could come in with a little bit of acumen. It sounds like they have some kind of acumen around the business, but they might not have been completely client-facing prior to stepping into this role.
Most of the individuals were client-facing, registered, and working with clients, but possibly not in the position of owning their own practice within Schwab. Mandy or Wesley, anything to add to that overview?
I think it was good.
Terrific. And then maybe we can talk about this module, the Growing the Business, and then about we can segue into the presentation on the PhD branding from Ridgeworth and how it might fit into your objectives for the session.
Right. Okay, so I will pick up now. So out of the 12 weeks that Chris just talked about, we have 9 days that begin right after Memorial Day in May. And so essentially we are focusing on prospecting for 9 days. And with that first day on which this module is what we're trying to get there, we talk about why do we prospect, why it's important to our business, how planning fits into it, what the role of the financial consultant is, and then we get them to share their own experiences because, as you picked up on, they come from a diverse background. We want to leverage some of that, those experiences. And so we have an open kind of powwow that we call the Power of Experience, to get them to just share what their experience in prospecting has been, what their processes might have looked like, what their their zone look like as well in terms of their most effective means and practices. And then we get into what we're hoping to partner with you on, and that is what we have been calling the affinity assessment. The whole goal of that is to give the FCs an opportunity to be introspective. So that is to look at themselves. What are their natural and their adaptable behaviors, their styles, their preferences? What are their natural affinities? One of the things that I've heard over and over again from our subject matter experts was that no matter what we teach them, how we deliver it in the most sincere way, the most authentic way, is paramount. Because whether they're a seasoned financial professional, a seasoned investor, or a three-year-old, most people can pick up on insincerity. And so one of the things we want to do is leverage those natural affinities in ways of building rapport, maintaining and cultivating and nurturing ongoing dialogue from a place where they understand themselves. So that's where we are in terms of trying to pursue for this particular module. After that, they go into other prospecting type activities in terms of their networks and partnering opportunities within the firm, as well as relationships such as these, where we can leverage resources and third-party providers outside of the firm as well in order to achieve the goals each year.
Well into this, and maybe Jim and Mallory, maybe you've had some thoughts on how this might, how you've used this in the past, and how long of a session does it normally run? Maybe some of those parameters we could talk about. Or sure. What do you think?
Yeah, in how long it runs, and Mallory and I have gone through a session that we were part of a full day that actually was a two-day session, of which we were the second day. And we opened it with the first hour, and we closed it with the last 2 hours. And the takeaway from that is that the individual participants, and there's probably, now correct me, I think there was 15 of them, walked away with effective positioning statement, as well as a personal bio that would then articulate their value proposition, their unique value proposition, to their clientele. But we were part of a bigger day that did that. We've also done it in branches that has been effectively down to 20 minutes. Because in the 20-minute session, what we do is there's a lot of homework that they have to follow up on. They have to do it after the fact, where in the three-hour session, they did it there. The training session was for them to complete it before the day ended. But in the branch, we effectively tee it up. We walk them through some examples, give them the aid, and then say, this is what you need to do. And then our staff usually interacts with them and pulls them after the fact to say, have you done it? And in our experience, it is after we've addressed this, gone through the module, if you have not actually submitted and completed something within a week, it never gets done. So it's one of those quite great things. Oh yeah, I got to do that. But if you don't complete it in the first week, then it just doesn't get done. And so because of that, in a similar dialogue that we're having right now with another client of ours, they decided, okay, if that's the case, we're going to do it on site. We're going to work through, and we effectively just facilitated the interaction, breaking up into one and two teams, groups of threes. Didn't really go into all the way to role playing, but we would go and articulate. So, what is your ideal client? And then you would do that individually. Then you would pull back together and you'd share it and say, okay. And the whole essence, and if I could sum it up with one word, and this is not an original thought. If you've ever seen anything that Simon Sinek put together, and if you haven't, you should go to YouTube, just do Simon Sinek, The Golden Circle. But we really drive through to this premise of why. And because we as an industry are awesome about telling people what we do, the clients. Frankly, why should our clients care? So this is really an exercise to pull that why out of them, to say, okay, what is the emotional tie? What is the thing that effectively gets you going every day to allow you to do this job and to do this function to the best of your ability? And it's not just because you're making money. It's not just because of, there always is a why. And we go through the exercise to try to draw out that why.
Okay. And I would add on there, y'all may have some questions, but add on, when Jim speaks about them filling out something and turning it back to us, we actually, as part of this whole process, depending which angle or which direction we go, we have a bio-writing service where at the end, we would actually, depending on how this shapes out, they can fill out a form all about themselves, and we can return a bio to them. We can return them all to someone, they're at your group first if you wanted to review them. But it's actually an opportunity for them to fill out information. We have a bio writer full-time with us that puts together the information into a really great bio, really intriguing, kind of pulls good information out of each attendee, and then you can put those into your own templates and that sort of thing. It's just the verbiage and, a Word document. But that's the service that we provide. So if that's, something that's interesting to you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Great. So, Leslie, Kristen, Mandy, what do you think at this point? Do you need to spend some time at the materials a little bit, or would you like to continue to ask some Jeff questions at this point? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just want to make sure it's a good use of your time. And but since we have Tim and Mallory here, we could pick their brain a little bit more if you'd like to do that.
Absolutely. So let me give you a little more context in terms of the 12 weeks. For example, we began a few weeks ago, and we're now in week 3. So yesterday they had an activity. It was only about 15 minutes, discussion around personal branding. So for example, they essentially was this discussion. What can they apply from the company brand to themselves in terms of their personal brand? What details do they need to pay attention to? For example, their experience, their education, their role, attire, tone of voice. Now, keep in mind, this is just a conversation that occurred yesterday. So some seeds have already been planted around this. And then on this Thursday, they also are getting into the brand strategy, as we call it. And so part of that brand strategy involves an activity, creating a personal branding statement. It's only about a half hour, where they incorporate what they learned in terms of branding elements from the company position. They introduce themselves, they outline their credentials, so it's very similar, and I'm pulling it up here to, where's the email? It was a profile, I believe, that, the personal biography, building your PhD personal biography. I think those two activities are very similar. One of the things that we're after with this particular, at this point, later, is how do we change it, if at all, for prospects, given that they're not clients, although they'll be dealing with clients in order to secure prospects. But what would we do differently, if at all, with clients? There's a very brief segment in there on social media that they'll also be exposed to. I really like the ideal client profile. That is not something that they will have been exposed to at any length or any depth at this point. So I'd love to spend a lot of time there, because at least as we're positioning it, and I'm hoping you'll be able to align with that, is, okay, once you know yourself, for example, get them to give you their bio statements that they'll be creating this week. And then from there, you can probably glean some questions that you'd like to do to help draw out more about them individually in terms of what their likes, their dislikes, whether they're drivers, whether they're affinities, what position of sincerity and authenticity can they come from, and then that can then lead into their client identification questions, the 7 key that you have as part of your ideal client profile. That's something I'm seeing right away. And then I think that would be an excellent segue. And forgive me if I'm going out of the intended order. But then I think that would be an excellent segue into your building your PhD positioning statement based around client scenarios. Because what we'd like to do, even if it's not during your particular session, but perhaps as a follow-up activity within the 9 days that we have, is to give them some scenarios around potential clients. So you have 3 primary concerns that your clients face, the 3 things you do to address their primary concerns, and present those in terms of scenarios based on things that are realistic and attainable here at Schwab.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So in hearing that, I would say that it never go down as deep as times 2 in terms of the branding statements.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that already would have been covered in the worst world is to, 1, for them to think it's redundant, 2, for any being conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I know that everybody has a little different approach. Sometimes words matter, and if you're already branding the Schwab brand into their branding, we would try to stay away from that as far as we could, because
okay,
all we would probably do is get it wrong.
Okay.
But I do think, though, we could go even deeper into, and it would still reinforce that it's just the PhD branding stands for personal, honest, and demonstrable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could, by focusing on the ideal client, working through the profile of the ideal client, then taking what they've already developed about their brand and say, now how do you take that, the already work that you've done about your personal brand and positioning statement, how do you then apply it to this ideal client, and then take the next step to say, now where do you go find those ideal clients?
Exactly.
And then how do you interact? And we've got some other things. I don't think we send it, Mallory, because I think we only sent a couple of these, but we do have sort of the care and nurturing of clients as a module. We've got I'm trying to go through the anticipating client needs, which I think we could all work into this. But it would be probably less spent on the branding side of it, but more after you've got the brand, how do you apply it with a go-to-market strategy?
Okay.
If that is resonating.
Right, and it does. Christopher, what are your thoughts based on what you've heard so far?
I'm still digesting it. A lot of materials I'm reviewing. I'm very interested in the service. I agree that we would want to avoid trying to rebrand kind of the positioning of the Schwab strategy, but thinking about better ways to help them anchor their relationship,
mm-hmm,
with prospects, that teaching them how to build on themselves and, I guess, build those stronger bonds is where I'm seeing that benefit.
Right. So, no, go ahead.
Digest.
Okay. So, Jim, I think we're on the right track, and I'm glad you're able to navigate with those little nuances there. So, we have currently about a 4-hour block. Based on what you know about the ideal client profile and any other tie-ins you would need from our previous branding activities, at least in the way that you describe, would that 4-hour block be something that you could work with? And knowing that we'll try and build in any follow-up activities in the following week that we would then manage?
Yeah,
going to be plenty.
Okay.
But I'm now in Mallory, I'm going to probably defer to you because what we could probably do in a 4-hour block, it's one of those things. If you give us enough, what was that old Mark Twain quote? If I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. That if you give me enough time, we could develop into some role playing that takes if I break it up in a module, and I don't know if it would still take up the full 4 hours because I'm sort of just mulling it through in my mind right now. But if we created the ideal client survey and actually give it to them in advance so they don't come in cold, so they're already thinking about it, we break up into little groups and I actually have them articulate the ideal client, and I'm going to still push hard on the why. And this is where it gets a little uncomfortable, and I just bring it out, is that I push hard on the why.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will, say, what's the ideal client, and they'll talk about it, but they really will never get to the why. They'll still get to the who. They'll get to the what they can do. They'll get to, somehow how they do it. But they really will never get to the point to say that I'm going to keep pushing them about why. And I'll break it back together. So we'll come back, we'll share, I'll push it back into the groups, and they have to share each other. And this is where, I use the sports analogy. So guys, if you're doing, like, we're in basketball season right now, if you're doing layup drills and it's against the defense, and the defense lets you score every time, you never get better.
Right.
So if we're in the team setup, you have to challenge your partner across the table of, is it really resonating? Is it really sticking in to why? And then, so you break that up, that will probably all in take no more going back and forth a couple times, just over an hour. So it'll take about 15 to 20 minutes to set it up,
mm-hmm.
break into it for about 45 minutes, with conversion times, you're probably at an hour and change.
Okay.
So now we've got a why from the ideal client, and we hopefully have captured that. Then I would say, okay, take your existing bio, take the why, and now let's try to figure out which is the audience of which, the circle of influence that you have that would develop that group, that target audience for you to go to. So that would be effectively second step. And it would be brainstorming with, once again, I'd set the stage, but then I'd let it go into groups and say brainstorming, and I'm helping you and you're helping me on how is this universe of people. Break that out. That's probably another 15, 20 minutes. Now you come in to say, now how is the best way to approach them? And this is where it gets a little, you could narrow it in, and I probably would need some help from Schwab because what are you allowed to do?
Mm-hmm.
How are you allowed to interact? How you approach them we might need to share that with you, and you need to probably put some guardrails on it so that we keep it back in. No, guys, that's not consistent with our client engagement. So you bring that back in into sort of a guardrail position. And now, so then the fourth module, and then now I'm now just about 2 hours in. The fourth module then would be is the nurturing feeding, is coming back to it and say, okay, now I've identified the audience, I've understood how I'm going to get in front of the audience, and what is my how do you stand out in a crowd mentality, and the nurturing feeding and the drip method to keep in front of them to make a difference. I don't think I can do that more than 45 minutes, but you're really only talking about 2 hours and 45 minutes unless we bolt on some other module that we would have, which is referral work or hosting events. I'm going through Mallory, what are the couple of the other modules that we have that we could add on to that?
There's a few things about networking. There's a few things about, revisiting newsletters, things like that we can, talk about working with your clients and how to stay in touch with your clients. But I'd say if you took just from my experience in doing this, via, general sessions at conferences or breakout sessions at conferences or workshops like Jim said that we've done,
I mean, if you take out that branding part, you know, I'm thinking somewhere in the, like, when, what Jim just went through, it's probably 3 hours or less for sure. So I don't know if that makes a difference if you have four that you want us to fill. But, you know, we do have some other things we could look at that we already have prepared that we could talk about, just working with your clients, you know, and being a good resource.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about the networking module that you mentioned. What's the scope of that?
Well, it's more about, you know, Jim going through it and sort of the brand. I mean, it's not branding, but it's more about, you know, building your network and the people that you're around, and it kind of, you know, ties back into the type of clients that you want to be around and that sort of thing. So it's more where we talk about when you're building your brand and the network that you're, you know, creating as you do that. So I don't know if that would kind of be knocked out because we wouldn't be talking so much about brand, but...
No, I think we would. So it's, you know, it's all about, you know, adapt to new formats of communication, you know, humanize your personal touch with investors. It's offering, you know, your professional services, you know, from public relations to social media, that would tie into what you guys are doing about your firm's reputation, and then the employee engagement discussion. And it goes into what's the interest of the, and it fits back to this why. So it's all to try to emphasize the why, that 55% of advisors say they're involved in the community in some way. Okay, that's awesome, but if it's not your why, then it doesn't matter, right? If it doesn't sort of amplify your why, then what is it? So it keeps coming back to the client engagement module, reinforces whatever the why is that you have and how do you do it. So, and it's just going back to the third module I talked about to say, now how do you go to the client? How do you engage the clients? I've identified the clients or prospects that I want to. How do you engage it? It has to tie to the why. So and let me give you an example. So in one of our breakout sessions, we had an individual that he was probably 7 years, 8 years into the business. He worked for a major wirehouse firm. And through all his process, his why came down. He said, well, I never really thought of it from this angle, but I am the only one in my family that's not in building trades. I'm the only one in my family that actually has embraced, you know, giving financial advice. And I never really thought it through about why. He says, I'm also the only one in my family that is able to provide for my clients and not have to worry about, you know, the completion of their plan. And I've done that not only for my family, but in my extended family, which is now my clients. So when that came out as the why, and it's the guy that was working through him that has also worked with him for about 5 years, had never heard that word, never heard that story, then the next thing we went in this breakout session, we said, okay, what's the natural clientele for you to go after? And of course, you know, that all family and so on. Okay, well, guys, by the time you're already done, we did that in the first year. So you're LOS 7. I mean, you're 7 years into the business. If you haven't already reached out to your family, you've probably missed it. So, but what is the next family? And we spent time on this affinity, and I think it ties into what you said before, is what is your natural affinity? And for this individual, it wasn't the church, but it was a charitable organization. It was multiple sclerosis, that he has a personal power that connected to his family, that then became the way and the audience for him to effectively network and work through. And I said, and so then that became, wow, what is intention? Then we went to LinkedIn, drove him to LinkedIn and said, okay, let's go LinkedIn, 3 degrees of separation from the universe that has a connection to you on a personal level through your charity to a professional level of somebody that you want to work with within this geography. So it evolved into an advanced LinkedIn session. That's just an example. I don't know if you'd want us to go that deep into this, but that's an example of something we've done in the past.
Right. It actually sounds very aligned with what we're after. Of course, we'd have to see what that looks like in terms of digging into your how that you are getting this done.
Right.
But very interested in that as well, because it seems like a nice capstone to all of the more structured activities.
That sounds very powerful and inspirational. So maybe they may not have that involvement yet, but as some of them are still developing their interests and their passions, that's another incentive or motivation for them to develop that.
Actually, I've been one that was, I used an example that was, you know, sort of tied to emotion. I had another one that was completely tied to a sport. And it wasn't golf. It was, for this guy, it was actually fencing. My daughter fences, so I had an affinity to it, so I remembered it. But he was a fencing guy, liked to be in fencing. His kids had did fencing, and so his affinity was fencing. And it is amazing. He did the exact same exercise that even if he didn't have a connectivity to it, it differentiated him enough because no one really has that much direct contact with fencing. So his, even if you didn't have an affinity for it, it was a point of engagement, because very rarely does anyone actually get a chance to talk about fencing with anyone. And it could differentiate him in a very crowded marketplace. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't emotional at all. It's just, hey, I like fencing.
Right.
And I do like these examples, and I think that as you walk through some examples and then further dig into the participants of the university, it will help them understand that, you know, everybody has their story or their bag of tricks, if you will, that you can rely upon. It's understanding when to apply them, the appropriate places, when to discuss it, you know, that when to stop and actively listen. You know, one question I had is, we're going to teach them how to prepare to have these conversations, how to change their approach in reaching out. Is there a module or any point where we talk about how to assess the results of what they're attempting and how to refine as necessary along the way?
I don't think we have anything that is formal, that is actually what this, you know, what the success is. I'm going through a plan back in my mind, Mallory, because in the client referral we do. But
yeah,
do we have any
other
assessment piece?
No, not really. And when we had talked about, you know, similar type workshops in the past, it was really more of a informal in the room. Our speakers would say, you know, if there were management in the room, which I know there will be for this, you know, the managers, you know, make this your opportunity to have a check-in every month, that, you know, put it as part of your execution going forward on checking in on this and assessing results. But no, we don't really have a formal piece, Jim.
Okay, and I'm just thinking of, you know, beginning with the end in mind, you're going to try to change the behavior. Right. It's valuable to understand the behavior you're trying to change and anticipate outcomes so you know if you're effective at it, if you need to retool along the way.
Right.
But perhaps that's built into some of the unique conversations we'd be having with the participants through the discussion.
Yeah, that's actually a great point, because, you know, with, you know, in the Covey language, you know, beginning with end in mind, you know, we've had a different end in mind. So sometimes the end in mind is actually just getting the bio written. The second time the end in mind is actually to get, you know, you name the number, but 25 unique client engagements over a set of period of time. Sometimes it was, we've been brought in to help with referrals to say, okay, we got a pathway to referrals, and we set it, you know, the management would set the goal. But I don't think we have ever been in a place that we're the ones that are actually tracking whether it was done or not, or completed, because we never really had, I hate to say it this way, but we're usually gone. We've moved on to the next one.
Yeah, and to clarify, I suppose I wasn't recommending that you had stay involved for the tracking piece. I was thinking more of you're
right.
Giving somebody a new tool to use, and perhaps it is just that manager engagement. How do you help that individual to determine up front what outcome they're expecting and to check back along the way? So if you have somebody along the way, what are they looking for in engagements to figure out, is this working? Is this really going to be my best foot in the door with client base? Or is it not as effective as I expected and I need to go back to the table and consider another alternate approach that better suit my client base? But just something along the way to figure out, is this working? But maybe it is the manager check-in.
Actually, Mallory, I would say, I don't know, we could ask Drew if he got it, but remember the Tampa complex, before we engaged in that exercise, they had to have the measurement, but it was all done by them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Really,
but I can check in with them
to
see what they had.
Because we did a complex, it was a Tampa-based complex for a national firm. So there was 7 different offices that our staff and myself came in for a couple of them. They rotated through, and it was the 20 minutes that I mentioned. It was 20 minutes in the branch. Then they had something to do, and they had to all do this within the first week, under the whole premise that if you didn't do it in the first week, you'd never get it done. And then the next module was a referral module. Because these guys were all, you had to be LOS 5, you had to be in the business for 5 years or more before you were allowed to attend the session. So it was all about growing net new, money, net new business to the branch. And we might just go back with Drew, but Drew had to put an engagement model together, but I don't think we did it. I think the firm did it. Yeah, so I'm almost sure. I'm sorry, I'm sort of thinking out loud there.
And I'm thinking about the program overall and the modules that were prepared before this and after this. So maybe one of the pieces that we tack on or tie into it is after this, this will help them discover who they are and how to connect. And then maybe one of the exercises we can do to reinforce it is to have them develop their personal timeline, executables, and some, their own personal checkpoints that they should share with their branch manager. To reinforce, I just really fear doing an excellent training without that follow through on our side.
Sure.
Because then it could get left to good intention.
Sure.
I'm thinking out loud here. I'm fascinated in this. I really believe in this type of a concept. But and Mandy, does that make sense?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just sitting here quietly listening. But yeah, I know everything makes sense.
I introduced the concept of LinkedIn. What do you guys use in LinkedIn? Do you embrace LinkedIn? And how does that fit into your 12-week training in terms of using it as a tool?
So I know we have a very brief segment introducing your tool as a part of the presence, but it's very small. That actual approach is being transformed even right now. There's a tool that we're looking at to leverage that tool and a couple other social media platforms. It's not a full access type of platform, to your point earlier about what are our boundaries and what are our guardrails. There are several in place, and so we're actually using a different approach to those tools. Although LinkedIn is one of the tools we can use, there are some limitations. For example, we can't do personal interactions on them. We can access the site. We can do postings and things like that. However, if you want to access, for example, your inbox or things like that, that's considered outside of the guardrails.
Right.
At least while you're on Schwab equipment.
Mm-hmm. But you could do the advanced searches.
Absolutely. We actually encourage that mining.
So Mallory, that would be, and I think it's sort of what I was articulating before about how you would engage your clients and how you find your natural clients.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fairly robust advanced LinkedIn usage training that we could, bring into this as part of that third module that I described. Mm-hmm. Is that how do you identify? clients are. That and it's all about using keywords. It's all about using, you know, the effectively teaching the LinkedIn tool. You know, we actually go online and we use it. And we, you know, bring out examples. It's very, very dramatic in the retirement space. We use the, you know, the 7 degrees of separation, you know, from Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That we say, okay, you're in this zip code, and you know that the decision maker is this person. So let's put this person, this decision maker, this zip code, and let's just see if you have any connections. And if you don't have connections, then let's keyword it. And almost invariably, we always find that there is one connection within, you know, within the, you know, the parameters that we set. Now, what I would probably do if we got enough time is I would probably try to identify by talking through one with you or somebody to identify a target-rich environment so that we're almost assured of success in doing that. By saying, okay, tell me what the affinity is, tell me what the group is, tell me how the connectivity, and effectively I would work it through so that there would be a higher probability of success in LinkedIn. But it, by just doing it, though, you're showing them, you know, the advanced tools of LinkedIn, but you're also ingraining in them to say, okay, how do I think about this? What are the keywords I want to use? What are the positioning I want to use to try to broaden that circle that I'm working?
Sure. Okay. So one, what we can do then, if you could include that as well as all the things that we talked about, at least once we aligned on what we're actually after, if you have any, whatever you have to put together for that package, include that, because I want to make sure that our compliance team understands what we're after with the LinkedIn portion. I like what I'm hearing, but I'm not certain because we're in this transformative space. Around our social media platforms and access and leveraging those platforms, that we can actually do what you're asking.
Yep.
Hey, Wesley, this is Kelly Arnold. Do you think it's a little too early on in Schwab's process to even go down the path of social media and maybe given the breadth and depth of Ridgeworth's expertise in prospecting and this topic, perhaps maybe this is just not territory we need to tread for this specific curriculum and we can evolve that conversation later?
I agree, and that's just based on some, right, I agree with that. That's just based on some conversations I've had with Lisa Hunt and where they're planning to go in Q4, and perhaps we can leverage them in that regard.
So Jim, this is Kelly Arnold. I work closely with Michelle Radcliffe. I joined the call just a couple minutes late. It sounds like you have, you know, so much great content to cover, we should probably wait on the social media stuff.
Okay.
Great. All right, so
just a few minutes left. Maybe we should think about next steps then.
Right, exactly. So, Jim, would you or your team member be able to put together, based on what you've heard today, something that we can look at or either augment or modify whatever it is that you, everything that you sent already? Just so we can have a picture of what we can expect. I like what you did in terms of walking us through how you were going to walk through, even in the absence of the personal branding segment. And I think we arrived at just shy of 3 hours in terms of content, and then perhaps even extending that with the networking piece that would help us inductively get to some more affinity type engagement. So anything that you can put together would work. Again, we are rapidly approaching our date with Memorial Day weekend,
right?
As well as we need to get some approvals on the way, of which Christopher
right.
Miller is part of that approval process even before we get to compliance. So I really appreciate it.
So let's talk about
that,
compliance piece real quick. Sorry to interrupt. We can talk about this offline with Schwab and then connect with Mallory, too, so we don't chew up Jim's time with something like compliance, which isn't super fun. But, you know, for other events in which third-party asset managers participate in investor services, for example, symposiums, we have a specific process from a compliance review standpoint, and it lies with the asset manager. Their materials are compliance reviewed, and we have some checkpoints on our end. But what that means means, Wesley, is our compliance teams don't have to fully read through and sign off from a compliance perspective on this content. We can talk about this a little bit later, but I just wanted to plant the seed to say maybe you can do your business reviews and we can talk about the compliance piece separately. Because, you know, we don't, in other events, necessarily lie the burden for compliance review on Schwab because we know these materials have been reviewed for compliance purposes.
Okay, understandable. That's encouraging. So,
And from our point of view, because of the timeline, you know, we won't probably be making, if we do customize anything, it would be a very minor customization.
Sure.
So we're going to probably much have to use the stuff that's already, you know, in stock and already time tested.
Oh, sure. Understandable. Totally understandable.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be something that is new.
Okay.
And speaking of time, is there anything we can do that, or we can give to you back, like the prioritization of the items that we've talked about today, of the different, the outcomes?
You mean for Jim?
Just for Jim, that Wesley, you know, maybe, you know, I can help you, you know, just to get, wrap that up, or maybe you already have that, so we can send that to Jim.
Yeah, it would be great. I think I took some pretty good notes on here from what I heard earlier, but I do think, yeah, you just to reinforce that, did I capture it accurately? But I think, yeah, I think I got it, and I think what our next steps will be, and Mallory and I will circle back pretty big. I'm in the West Coast right now, and I've got some things I've got to wrap up, so I don't know if I can turn around today, but I think by COB tomorrow we should be able to. That what I will do is work with our team, and I'll sort of map out, and I think the easiest way for me to do it is really just to map out all the way down to the engagement to say, okay, you know, we're going to open, this is what we're going to open, and this is what we're going to use the material to open, to sort of set the stage. Then we're going to break out into a session, and this material we're going to use to break out into a one-on-one or two-on-two, three-on-three type groups. And I'll schematic that out for you with the plugins to say, this is the piece we'll use at this time, this presentation we use, this is the, you know, the piece we would use here, and I'll map that out for you and try to get that to you, and, you know, hopefully by the end of the next day, so that you then could take that and say, wow, yeah, this is great, or two, no, I think we're not emphasizing what we want enough, or we need to change the order, or I like this, I wish they would spend more time. But I'll give you all of the collateral that we will be using to articulate those messages to make sure that it, one, you know, meets the compliance track that we talked about before, but two, you can get your feeling around it and say, okay, now I know what content they're going to be sharing.
Sounds great.
That sound like a plan?
It does. Thank you.
I appreciate your time today. This is a very helpful one.
Great.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. We're looking forward to it. Let's try to get this together, and if it still connects, we'll hopefully be seeing you at the end of the month.
Jim, thanks so much. We're looking forward to talking more with you.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.